According to the Torah, the state of Israel have no right to exist. But they come so nicely and arrest you. That's all. No, they're coming and they beat people on the head, everywhere. It's unbelievable. You can see that only in the social media, because the mainstream media don't show that.
So you're saying Netanyahu is Amalek?
Netanyahu, I didn't have to say it. This is a fact. Amalek means people who uproot people from God, especially the Jewish people uproot from God. This is the job of Netanyahu, though. And exactly he is the Amalek. No difference what the price of that is. If the price of that is killing 100 million people, they will do that.
100 million people?
Everything what the price is to wipe up Jordan, Syria, Egypt, Lebanon, wipe them completely up.
They could drop a nuclear bomb on Iran if they wanted to. Do you think if it comes to that, they would?
I think yes, 100%. There's a Jewish hospital in Iran, funded completely by the government. Why you don't see that in the news? They just say the Iranian anti-Semites, the Nazis.
I'm going to clap first, and then I'm going to look there, and then I'm going to say, welcome, Rabbi Ilan, and back, and then we'll start.
No problem, I have to speak to you, not to the camera.
Speak to me, yeah. Is it in? I'm starting in 3, 2, 1. Hi, good day. Welcome to another episode of Unapologetic. I'm your host, Ashwa Karim, and I'm really happy today to welcome back to the show for the first time, I think, in about 18 months, Rabbi Ilan Beck. Rabbi, welcome
thank
to the show.
Thank you. Hello. Thank
Rabbi, you.
You
last spoke to me, I think it was May or April 2024. You may not remember the date, but I know you remember sitting here and speaking with me. And at the time, Israel had already killed about 40 or 45,000 Palestinians in Gaza. It had reduced a lot of Gaza. But since then, Israel has probably destroyed a lot more in Gaza. The official death toll now is 75,000. Truth is, it's probably much higher because there's many people under the rubble. There's many people unaccounted for. 90% of the buildings in Gaza are destroyed. Israel are also, through settlers and with the backing of the state, committing a pogrom in the West Bank. There's no other word for it. It's a pogrom on a daily basis. Palestinian kids are smacked by settlers or beaten up by settlers or worse, homes are confiscated. Increasing settlement confiscated lands are being, Palestinian lands have been confiscated for increased settler activity. At the same time, now with the war on Iran happening, the US-Israeli-led war on Iran, vast swathes of southern Lebanon have been evacuated. Israel are bombing southern Lebanon with more ferocious intensity than they have even at the height of the war earlier. And of course, they're bombing Iran, which is a very big deal and has the potential. It's already drawn in many other nations. It has the potential to become a regional war. And again, like in Gaza, when Netanyahu invoked Amalek, again, when he spoke about Iran, he invoked Amalek. Now, I know that you are a rabbi, and I know that you are very angry with Israel's actions and Netanyahu's actions. Just to start off with, what's your response to what everything I've just said?
You ask as many things in one question. I will start to begin with one, and then we will come maybe okay. One after one. Firstly, we have to understand that according to the Torah, the state of Israel have no right to exist. Not only they have no right to go to wage wars on other countries like Gaza, Iran, and Lebanon, and so on. So as you can understand, in today's day, Jewish people have no right to rule the land, even not one inch of any land. And, of course, even not in the Holy Land. The Holy Land, in today's day, according to the Torah, it belongs to the Palestinian in full. Not a two-state, and not all of this. From the river to the sea should go back to the Palestinians in full. Could be the Jewish people can live there. Under a Palestinian government, like Jewish people living today in Iran, even under the war, they have no problem with Jews, they have a problem with occupiers, they have a problem with the genocide, they have no problem with Jews. The same thing we can live as peaceful citizens, even in Palestine. But the whole land, the government, should go back to the Palestinians in full, and all the Palestinian refugees should come back, and they should get back their homes in the villages like it was before. This is according to the Torah. And this is even the Zionists took the land freely, without any wars, with a free land. Especially when they're doing that on the head of Palestinian people by killing them and exiling them from the land. And this doubles and triples the crimes much, much more. In the Torah it's written, in the Ten Commandments, don't kill, don't steal. This is exactly what the Zion is doing. So, of course, in today's day, according to the Torah, the whole land should go back to the Palestinians in full. Even in Israel, you have hundreds of thousands of anti-Zionist Jews, strong anti-Zionist Jews. They don't serve in the army. Today, as we speak, yes, you have 55,000 of Ayot, but they refuse to go to the army. Our rabbis told them, better go to prison and not in this murderous army. Yes, 55,000. But if the police catch them, they put them in jail. And you can see that on the social media, in big protests, in Israel himself, in like the Zionists, beating them, not like the English police. But they come so nicely and they arrest you, blah, 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 that's all. No, they're coming and they beat people on the head, everywhere. It's unbelievable. You can see that only in the social media, because the mainstream media don't show that. there are many people that didn't take any benefits of the country, of Israel. Like here it's called universal credit, yeah, or so on. They didn't take... I have my cousin, he's called Rabbi Kraus. He lives in Israel and they have a big family. Grandchildren, grandchildren. He didn't say for the country, he didn't want the it's called the Bituach Leumi, I think it's like a universal credit. He get every month a check. He make a big party, all the children, the grandchildren, he take the check, tear it in two, to show these are enemies, I don't want the money. Every month he do that, every month. There are many people, but they refuse to go to the army, and they don't take any benefits, and they don't participate in the votes. But this is in Israel, hundreds of thousands. But outside Israel, people look like me, most of them are against the state of Israel.
Just coming back, because you said a few interesting things there. Tell us and tell the audience, just what is the story of Amalek?
Amalek is not really a person. It is a person, but... what means it's not really a person? Amalek is a concept. Amalek describes the people who uproot people away from God. At that time, for 3,500 years ago, when Jewish people got out from, when God took us out from Egypt, then the whole world has so in believing God, and so the big power of God. And everybody was afraid, there is a God in the world, he runs the world. Then, at that time, it comes some nation, it calls Amalek, and shown for the world, no, we don't have to fear God, we can do whatever we want. Since then, Amalek is the symbol of people who uproot people from God. In today's day, we cannot point any specific nation to say, this is Amalek, or this is Amalek, or this is Amalek. Amalek today is a concept of the people who uproot people away from God. Now, you don't have to come now to my answer. You have the answer yourself. Who uprooting people away from God in today's day? Not the Palestinians, not Iran. Iran is a God-fearing people. The saving God. Who uprooting God? The right people who uprooting God is Netanyahu and the whole Zionist. They uproot. Today are 18 million Jews. 16 of them, they are secular. They don't believe in God. Whose job is that? This is the job of the Zionist in the last 140 years since they started the movement of Zionism. They uproot people from God constantly, constantly, constantly.
So you're saying Netanyahu is Amalek?
Netanyahu, I didn't have to say it. This is a fact. Amalek means people who uproot people from God. especially the Jewish people, apart from God. This is the job of Netanyahu do. And exactly, he is the Amalek. But I didn't have to say it. This is just the fact. I bring out the fact on the table. But I say that with a full mouth. And I have no problem to say that. He is the right Amalek. Who gives him the right to say who is Amalek, who is not? Of course, everybody who is his enemy will say he is Amalek. I can say for you, I can say for everybody. I mean, you have to understand what it means, Amalek. Now, I will come to another point. For 100 years ago, one of our greatest rabbis at that time, before the State of Israel, but after the Zionist movement begins, yes, 40 years after the Zionist movement begins, one of our greatest rabbis' name was the Chofetz Chaim. The books of the Chofetz Chaim you have in every single synagogue throughout the world. You will not find even one synagogue without his books. He was very famous, one of the biggest rabbis. He said that very clearly, that the Zionists are Amalek in today's day.
And he said this when?
100 years ago.
100 years ago.
Before the creation still of the state. Okay. When Zionism was a movement in the try with many things to bring up people to Israel to become a majority there. And they're working very hard to bring up people from Russia, from Poland, from Hungary, from Ukraine, from all these countries to become a majority at that time, 100 years ago, to become a majority in the Holy Land. He said that at that time. That they are the Amalek. Again, his name was the Chofetz Chaim. And the reference of that is in the book of Ikves de Meshicha, it calls. One of her greatest followers, his name was, like my name, Rabbi Elhanan Wasserman. Also, then he was died in the Holocaust, unfortunately. I mean, he was killed in the Holocaust, Rabbi Wasserman. And he wrote it in his book, Ikves de Meshicha, the words of his rabbi, the Chofetz Chaim, said that the Zionists are the real Amaleks in today. So, firstly, who is Netanyahu to say who is Amalek? I mean, everybody can say. Who gives them the right to say him? And secondly, if we understand what Amalek means, then we understand ourselves who is Amalek.
Okay.
That's all.
You've been talking a bit about this, and another thing that's also invoked a lot by Netanyahu and other people in Spain, especially Smotrich and Ben-Gvir, is the idea of Greater Israel. Now, many people who see Israel, you know, creating chaos in the region now with the Iran war, attacking Syria, attacking Lebanon, believe there's a project of Greater Israel. What's your thoughts on the project of Greater Israel?
Give a look. Really, I'm not an expert in politics. I'm an expert in our religion, and you're asking me now a political question. I can tell you just what I think, as I have to study the ideas of Zionism, as know your enemy, how to fight against them. So I have to study the book of Herzl, Teddy Herzl, and what was his achievements and what they want. So I can just tell you from this side, but however, what's going on in the political world, really, I can say that I don't know, and could be that I haven't got the right view on that. However, as I understand that the achievement of the goal of Zionists are to get a safe Israel. Of course, they want the biggest borders from the river to the sea. Yes, they didn't want. They want all the Muslims out of that, all the Palestinians out completely. The whole West Bank they want to take, the whole Gaza, everything they want to take, the whole Israel with the Golan Heights, with everything they want. In that, they want to be 100% safe. No difference what the price of that is. If the price of that is killing 100 million people, they will do that.
100 million people?
Everything what the price is to wipe up Jordan, Syria, Egypt, Lebanon, wipe them completely up. If they need that for their security, they will do that. They have no problem with that. They haven't got even normal human feelings. They see only themselves. Selfish for themselves, what they want. And this is what they want. But I don't...
Is the idea, sorry to interrupt, is the idea to conquer all these lands, or do you think the idea is just to create so much chaos in those lands that they can control as much of Israel and maybe beyond Israel as they like?
It's not only chaos. What they like, could be they want 500 miles around Israel to be empty. Something like that. To make sure that nobody can hit them. They want to make weak all the countries
around them.
But I don't think they want to become leaders on the whole world. They want their own country, but a safe country. And there is no price what is too big for them.
So when you say there's no price, like right now there's a war going on and Iran is being bombed a lot, and Iran is a strong nation, I mean, in terms of their army, etc. So do you think if this war continues, do you think it's like, I mean, when you say they'll kill 100 million people, the implication is they could drop a nuclear bomb on Iran if they wanted to. Do you think if it comes to that, they would?
I think yes, 100%.
100%?
Yes.
They wouldn't think twice?
If they will feel they will have to do that, in my eyes, yes.
And in terms of, I mean, another thing that's happening right now with the war.
They are not human beings.
I mean, what's happening also in the war is Iran is retaliating by hitting American bases and hitting strategic assets in the Gulf countries, in Qatar and the UAE and Saudi Arabia and Oman and Bahrain, etc. I mean, so what you're saying is there's no care for the Zionists, that if these countries get hit, if their economies get depleted, if anything, they'd probably be quite happy with the fact that these countries are now fighting with each other.
They don't think even about other people. It's not like England, but our government. I didn't come to say if it's right or not right. I'm not in the political world, yes? But they are caring for other people. If he goes out to a war with France, he will care about the civilians. They don't care nothing. They don't think nothing. They don't think that. They think only about themselves. And no price is too high for them. No price is too high for them. It's not like America. It's not like the UK. It's not like all the...
Are you saying this because of what you've seen them do in Gaza and what they're doing in Lebanon? Or would you have said this 10 years ago as well?
I would say that also in 10 years ago. This is really what our rabbi said, that Jewish people, if they're gone away from God, they are worse more than animals.
Your rabbi said this?
Yes, this is in the Talmud, very clearly.
Okay.
Very clearly.
So this is a famous rabbi?
This is a Talmud say.
Oh, the Talmud says
everybody
it itself.
Everybody accepting that. Jewish people, if they are close to God, they are holy people. They are chosen people. They're saving God, and they are holy people. But if they are gone away from God, they are worse than animals. That you can see that with your eyes. You told me about the war in Gaza. The war in Gaza didn't was the first war. Yes, it's already 77 years full of wars. And we see that every time. Yes, I myself, I born in Jerusalem. Yes, my mother told me what she saw in 1948. I didn't want to say that. I cannot say that. What she saw, how their behavior was against the Palestinians. Crazy, crazy. And what's happened in Sabra Shatila? You know all this thing what they're doing already for centuries. Not centuries, I mean for...
77 years. A few years before that, also in Palestine.
But yes, what they're doing. But my mother remembers that. She saw that with her own eyes. My father told me what he saw at that times. My father passed away already, but he was 1948, he was about 20 years old, and he saw everything. He told me everything what he saw with his own eyes. The Zionist is not like the Western countries where they're thinking about civilians. No, they don't think about nobody. They are selfish completely. They're thinking only about themselves.
How does that work? I mean, the thing is, how is it that... I mean, what you're saying is that the Zionists... And we've seen, for example, we see when they bomb Gaza, they have these parties where they go and they see the bombing. We see now when they are bombing Iran and they're bombing Lebanon, you see people... If you see Israeli media and you see Israeli YouTubers, you see a lot of celebrity language. You know, they're celebrating the fact that people are dying and being bombed. But But you're saying that this is a thing which is, like, if the Zionist is, you know, a lot more deadly in terms of their intention, you're saying this, then, like, you know, Western imperialists or, you know, other imperialists, because there's lots of imperialism in the world. Why? Like, how does that work?
Look, a Jewish person, God has created the Jewish people to be connected to him, to be believers in him. And if they leave it away, they lost the faith in God, they lost the humanity. They lost completely the humanity that you can see with your own eyes. You're asking me why it is? I can understand that this is more deeply to explain it, but you can see the fact. You can see the fact. When England going on a war, they are caring about all the civilians. And if they hit some civilian...
Sometimes.
Okay. But they apologize if something happened. And they have no problem. Like, they're celebrating. Killing children in Gaza, they're celebrating. They say they are creatures. We may kill them. Tayao say they are animals. They are nothing. We may kill all of them. They don't care about them at all. Completely. I mean, you can see that with your eyes. Unfortunately, I mean, people were lost, they're believing in God, they lost everything, they lost the humanity, they lost completely.
How do you feel? I mean, these people are acting in your religion, they're acting in the name of your religion. You are obviously a devout Jew, you love Judaism, you are hoping that Judaism thrives in the world, that your children and grandchildren and many generations can continue to practice Judaism. When you see so many people who say they are Jews behave in this way, how do you feel? What are your concerns about the future?
Give a look. Again, coming from my religious point of view, we believe that the bad side will have the end. This, again, not my words. It's written in the Torah, and the reference of that is in Numbers 14, verse 41. It really was by a similar situation when God took out the Jewish people from Egypt. And then he commanded them to stay in the forest for 40 years. I don't know if you learned sometimes the Torah. But the most people, what they didn't agree, they say, no, we want to go up the Holy Land, even by force. And Prophet Moses told them, no, stay in the desert for 40 years. God command you to stay, took out from Egypt and command you to stay in the desert 40 years. Only after that you can go to the Holy Land. But these people didn't agree. And they gone up. Then Prophet Moses told them, why do you rebel against God? You will not succeed. And then that's what happened. They tried to go up and there was all of them killed. Yes. A rebellion against God cannot be succeed. As long as the state of Israel is a rebellion against the Almighty, you command us to stay in exile and not to rebel against him. And what the Zion is doing is a rebellion against God. They will not succeed. Again, you look today, political eyes, they are strong. They are very strong. And all the strong countries support them. And with political view, you don't see... You see that they will succeed for the next 1,000 years. But again, I'm coming from the religious point of view. In the religious point of view, I'm 100% that they will come to an end. And this is not my words. First, it is the words of the Torah. And then again, many rabbis of our great sages told that already before the creation of the State of Israel, like I mentioned before, the Chofetz Chaim. He said it also that even they will agree to create a state, this is only till a certain amount of time. It will come, the end. I'm sure on that 100% that the end will come. We hope and pray for a peaceful end. Nobody looks for bloodshed. However, the day will come to an end 100%. Now, of course, when I see the uprooting so many people away from God, 16 million out of 18 are non-believers today by the influence of Zionists. Of course, this makes very bad feelings. And when you don't believe in the Jewish principles, it makes feeling lost. Okay, we are finished. Another generation, two, three generations, we are finished.
Okay.
But we know that this will not be the case. They will come to an end, and we will succeed at the end.
Okay, so you call like the majority of, I'm guessing not world jury, but 16 million out of 18 million non-believers. And the reason you say that is because they don't, according to you, believe in those 13 principles of Judaism. But, I mean, they would see themselves as Jews, though, right?
Yeah, they
but
can.
But you wouldn't see them as Jews. Like, no, I'm just clarifying it.
Yeah, the same like a secular Muslim will see themselves as a Muslim.
Okay, I understand the point. So, I mean, we've discussed Amalek, and we've discussed the Promised Land in a way when we discussed Zionism and Judaism. Can you tell me more about some of the other sort of theological arguments that people inside of Israel, in your view, would be wrongly used? Like, for example, building the temple again. There's discussions about, you know, for a while now, there's been a few movements within Israel that are trying to desecrate or destroy the Al-Aqsa Mosque because they want to build the temple. The other issue, there's another thing about the red cow. There's the idea of the Messiah that you spoke about. Tell me, from your perspective, what's their wrong interpretation of it, and what should be the correct interpretation of these things?
I will split it in a few.
Yes.
Because I didn't want to make a long thing. Firstly, we will speak about the Messiah, because this is serious. The other one is just fantasizes. It's not reality. I will come back to that. But Messiah, this is a reality. We Jewish people, we believe in a Messiah. We believe that Messiah will come. But don't make a mistake. The Messiah will not be another Netanyahu. He will not kill innocent men, women, children, just to grab a land. The purpose of Messiah will be to bring back all the people of the world to serve the same God. In the time of Messiah, there will be unity from the whole world. Messiah will not come with physical power at all. In our scriptures, Messiah described "uni v'hoicha v'lachamo," that means a poor man coming on a white donkey. We don't know what it means. Today is no donkeys. Like many prophecies, we will not only understand that when it will become a reality. However, Messiah is not described as a strong person. I come, I'm the king, I will kill everybody, my slave, blah, 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 blah. No. A poor man coming on a white donkey, that's all. Messiah will not come with physical power, he will come with spiritual power. In the heart of all the people. At that time, Jewish people with the Palestinian people will not be on two sides of the fence. That will be on the same side of the fence. All of us together will go up, will serve the same God in harmony and peace. And the Holy Land, this is a holy place. It's a holy place all over the years. And the Holy Land will be the main place where people will come and to serve their closer to God. Even people will live in the whole world, but they will come up there to serve God, to be closer to God in the Holy Land. But it will be not only us, it will be us with the Palestinians, with all the people. This is our belief in Messiah. Messiah will not come and kill people, innocent people, for nothing, just...
What's the, in your view, what do you think is the idea of the Messiah in the minds of the settlers, for example, like people like Daniel Awais or people like Ben-Gavir or Smotrich? I mean, I'm sure you haven't spoken to them about what they think, but in your view, what can you imagine their view on the Messiah is?
Yes, you have to split it. Netanyahu is an unbeliever. He don't believe in the Messiah at all.
Yeah, hence I left
him just out. Using that. Yes. But the other people, the settlers, and the other people, what they are believers, they are completely confused with the religion. They're taking many things out of context and put it on the wrong place. Like, let's say about the settlers, yes? The settlers say they are religious, but they see with their own eyes that the goal of Zionism is to uproot people from God, take away people from God. So how do you put it together? You are a believer or not? You want all the people to become believers, or you want all the people to become unbelievers? You are a believer. What do you want? Exactly. How do you save these people who are uprooted away, people from God? How do you save them? They are completely confused in their minds, in the taking also out the concept of Messiah from the right concept, in the same Messiah means like Netanyahu, he's the Messiah or something like that. This is what they thinking about the Messiah. But to know what Messiah is not something that you can Google on the internet. You have to read the real holy Jewish books to understand what the concept of Messiah is. And it's very clear. If you look in the books of the prophets, the 24 books, you will see very clear the purpose of Messiah and what he going to do if the Messiah will come. It's written in Psalms, yes, chapter 97. It's written hundreds of times in Psalms. I'll just give you one example, but it's hundreds of times. Hashem mulach tugel huetz. When God will reveal his kingdom on the whole world will be happy. Yismachu iim rabim. All the nations on the world will be happy. We say in our prayers, V'yei kila magidu echos, la'asai z'tzoichu b'leiv of shuleim. That means the whole world, the whole, not only Jews, the whole world will come together to serve the same God in harmony and peace. And like that we have many, many verses, hundreds and thousands of verses in our prayers, in the books of the prophets, again and again and again and again. That what the Zion is doing and the settlers doing is completely taking out of concept many things. And I will come to the other point, what you're asking.
It's about the red cow and the mosque, at the Temple Mount in Al-Aqsa, yeah.
I will give you an example. This is completely fantasized. It's not reality. Look, Netanyahu, yes, he is a murderer. He's very bad. Bad is not a word for him. Yes? But he's not crazy, unfortunately. He's not crazy. He was much better when he was crazy. But unfortunately, he's not crazy. He will never speak about the red cow. He will never speak about building the Temple Mount. Because he's not crazy. The settlers are crazy people. Crazy people. They're speaking about fantasizes, about things. Why you don't hear Netanyahu speaking ever, never about the red cow? He's not crazy. That's all. This is not a reality. The red cow, this is again, this is a concept, a holy concept. You cannot kill man, woman, and children into hope that God will be with you. This doesn't go together. God said, don't kill. If you do something what God forbid, then God is not with you. If they want that, in our belief, the Temple Mount. Yes, let's come to this point. Many people asking me.
I mean, sorry, just before you get to the Temple Mount. So what? I mean, in the Orthodox, in the pure interpretation of the red cow, what's the red cow? Not in the crazy settler interpretation where they're trying to kill people and hope the red cow comes. In your understanding of the red cow, what's the red
the
cow?
The red cow is just when in that times when you look in the Torah, you can see that there are many situations but people get impure. Impure, and how you get back pure. Now, I try to explain you. For example, we had a temple. To go in the temple, you have to be pure. Not. If you are impure, like if you touch a dead person, yes, you become impure. How you get back pure, we call that tuha is pure, tuma means impure. Now, how do you come back? Usually there is something what calls a mikveh. I know, but the Muslims also you have a mikveh. Mikveh means a water, a small pool of water. You go in and you get back pure. You get back pure. But there are some impure things that you need about the red cow. The red cow means that you have to take a cow that is completely red, but today you don't see them. This was like a miracle. It was only 9 red cows since God gave the Torah to Mount Sinai. In the 10th will be where Messiah will come. Because today we are anyway impure, We are in exile, so we haven't got the red cow, and we haven't got the whole procedure of the red cow. In the red cow, we slaughter them, and then we burn them, and we put the in the water, and we...
The blood in the water?
Not the blood. We burn the cow after...
The ashes, okay.
Yeah, the ash, yes. After slaughtering, we put it on ash, and the ash we put on water, and this water, on some conditions, it's written in the Torah, you put it on impure people, and they get pure.
Okay.
We don't understand that. This is a command of God. One of the commands, what we don't understand. There are many commands what we understand, like don't kill, don't steal. We understand it. But there are many commandments what we don't understand why it is. It is, like that's what's written in the Torah. Everybody can see that the Torah is open. This is the concept of the red cow. Now, after we gone away, we gone out of the Holy Land, yes, so we are anyway impure, so the red cow goes out of use. We don't need them anymore. The next time we will need it, the Messiah will come. Then we will have the red cow.
Okay, so now the Temple Mount.
Now I will come to the Temple Mount. But I come from a different angle. I come back to this.
Sure.
The same thing, many people asking me if we believe in the temple, in where it's going to be built, in what I believe. Again, the same thing what I say about Messiah. To understand the concept of the Temple Mount, it's not something what you Google on the internet. You have to look in the books of the prophets, learn about it to understand what it is. In our scriptures is written that the temple, the third temple, will come down from heaven, a temple of fire. And we will serve God in this temple. Now, we can understand it? No, we cannot go into fire. We don't know how, in what it will be, how it will be. This is not something what we can build with our hands. Yes, this is something we believe in. Wait and see. The Messiah will come. It will be much more spiritual world. And this will happen many spiritual things what we cannot understand in today's day. However, this is the Jewish belief in the third temple. How it will be built, who will be built it, what's going to happen, like we don't understand how it can be that we will serve God in a temple of fire. The same thing, we don't understand exactly what will happen. It's written in our scriptures. Ke'ato Hashem bu'esh etzato, ibu'esh at'us et limnoisa. God will build the temple with fire. We don't understand what it is. Let's wait and let's see. And that's all. But one thing what we know 100%, that at that time, there will be peace on the whole world. I will have to touch another point here. Very important point. People asking me very many times about the Temple Mount, about Messiah. And I told them when, in our scriptures, the Messiah, what we're waiting for, is the Messiah, what he will make peace on the whole world. I will give you a nice story, what's happened with one of our greatest rabbi. I mentioned them before, the Maimonides. Maimonides was, for 1,000 years ago, he was the doctor, the private doctor of the Sultan. I didn't remember the name of the Sultan. One of the Sultans.
Where, in which
in,
part of the world?
In Egypt.
In Egypt, okay.
Yes. And he was the personal doctor. One time the Sultan asked him, look, you are my private doctor, my life, in my life of my family is in your hands, but you are not loyal to me. How can I do that? He said, already, you see, I'm not loyal. He said, because you believe in Messiah. If a Messiah will come, you believe he will be the king. I'm the king. My mother is answering him, look, the Messiah will come. If you will not be the first one who will take your crown and put it on his head, he is not the right Messiah. Because a Messiah will come, everybody will agree to him. Me and you together. Messiah will bring him spiritually in our heart to see and to serve the same God in harmony and peace. This is what Messiah will be stand for here on the world, to bring a spiritual world. This is the job of Messiah. And if you will not be the first one to give him the crown, this is not the right Messiah, this is the false Messiah. The same thing is what the Zionists mention, Messiah, with something like that. I want first see by the Messiah what they want to say, Netanyahu, the Messiah. I want to see that everybody agrees with him. Not unfortunately, thanks to God, that 90% of the world are not agreeing with him. So he's not a Messiah at all. However,
I mean, but do you think some people see him as a Messiah in
the some settlers, Zionists?
The settlers see him as a Messiah.
Crazy people.
As an actual Messiah or just as a hero or champion? Or do they actually call him the Messiah?
They give names Amalek for who they want. They give name of Messiah for who they want. Messiah, the job of Messiah is to bring people close to God. This is the job of Messiah, the whole job. What he will do on this world is to bring people together to serve God. What is the job of Netanyahu? To take away people from God, to kill people, to make hatred between people, not to unite people. Exactly the opposite what Messiah is doing. But these people are crazy. The settlers are crazy. And they're giving names. Everybody can give names. And then if you have the power for that, okay, you have the power, but it doesn't make wrong for right, because you have the power to that. So I come back to this point, what people asking, okay, I understand everything what you say about Messiah, about the Temple Mount, fine. However, you believe the Messiah will come, then the whole world will serve God. In which way? The Jews believe in the Jewish way. The Muslims believe also in the Messiah. They believe there will be the Muslim way. The Christian believe it will be the Christian way. So again, you have something why to argue and to kill each other. My answer to that is the religion, this is very, very important to understand. The religion is never the problem. The problem is forcing up other people, occupying other people, forcing up to think, to do what you want. This is the problem. But the religion itself has no problem. I give you an example. You are a Muslim. Can you sit down in a coffee shop by a cup of tea with a Christian friend?
Me and you are sitting here having
yes,
a good time.
Yes, by a cup of tea, sharing the belief. You explain him, you believe in Messiah, he explain what he have, what he believe. You don't hate each other, you are good friends. Let's wait and see, that's all. There's not the religion itself, it's not a reason why to hate each other. The problem starts only by the occupation, by force other people, and even forcing other people of the religion, yes? Like it was the Spanish Inquisition, yes? The forcing up the religion of other people, this creates hatred, this creates killing, this creates all the problems, but not the religion itself. The Christian religion, the Muslim religion, the Jewish religion, they can live together in peace, they have no problem, as best friends. Like the Sultan in Egypt, his doctor, his private doctor, was a Jewish rabbi. And not a Jewish rabbi, one of the famous Jewish rabbis, Maimonides, was his private doctor. Because the religion himself is not a problem. The problem is to force upon other people. So I come back to the point. We have our belief in Messiah. You have your belief in Messiah. The Christians have their belief in Messiah. There's no problem. We can live together. Just wait and see. That's all. I believe, you believe, that when Messiah will come, everybody will recognize what is the right on the world. Okay, let's wait and see. When God will come down, everybody will see God, everybody will recognize in him, and everybody, of course, will follow him.
Okay. You obviously, you've been attending most of the demonstrations against the bombing of Gaza and the genocide of Gaza, and now the bombing of Iran for the last 2.5 years, or just about two, it's not yet 2.5 years, but it's more than 2 years. You wear Palestinian garbs. Obviously, just based on what you're saying, you mentioned that in your view, the Zionists are almost like Amalek, right? So you've obviously dedicated a big part of your religious life to trying to purify, I would say, this Judaism by resisting Zionism and by resisting these people who have usurped your religion, right? Do you see that as the most important religious duty you have?
In today's day, yes. Give a look. If somebody will come into the Muslim people, yes, and succeed to uproot so many Muslims from the religion, yes, of course, this is one of the most important things of Muslim person, to put things on the right place. For themselves, for the children and the grandchildren, and for the world, to give the right image for the world of Islam. The same thing is with Judaism. If somebody comes in the name of Jewish people, they're killing other people. And they're doing so many murder acts, what they're doing in my name. When I going in the street and I hear behind me somebody say, Hitler, Hitler. I know we watched yesterday a film of Gaza, yes? They're doing that in my name, yes? Of course, this is our most important duty, to come out. And this is important for us, ourselves, for our children, for next generation, and for the world, to show what is real Judaism.
We've seen all the destruction in Gaza and in Lebanon, yes, and in Iran and everywhere else, which is now being perpetrated by a state which says it's a Jewish state, right? In your understanding of history, of Jewish history, are there other stories of people who claim to be Jews or who are Jews behaving as badly as this?
Just look at the history. You don't see that at all.
So this is unique.
Jewish, of course. Jewish people was all the times believers in God, loyal citizens to all the countries where they lived, and they was every time loyal. You can't see in the whole 2,000 years since we are in exile even one rebellion of Jewish people. Like, you have one, but it didn't was by force. It was Shabtai Tzvi. I don't know if you heard about it. Build up a messianic movement, a false messianic movement. But it didn't was by force. It was only not too long, a few years, till the Sultan of Turkey just finished with it, yeah, the whole thing. But you don't see it in the whole long of 2,000 years of the Jewish exile. As we are exile history, you don't see even nothing close to God. To them, all the time, Jews live as peaceful citizens in all the countries, because Jews were believers in God, in the belief that God sent us in exile. We are not try even to go out by force. We are in the hands of God. God put us in the corner. We stay in the corner. We are not try to come out of the corner by force.
So, I mean, there's many people listening to this conversation, and obviously, you are speaking as a Jewish person, as a rabbi. But there's people who listen to this and say, we are, based on what we're saying, we are probably, you know, making Israelis or people who say they are Jewish but support Israel, we're making it unsafe. And they'll probably accuse you of being a self-hating Jew. They'll accuse me of being an anti-Semite. They're accusing many people now of being anti-Semites based on this. Anyone who now is pro-peace and wants to ensure that children in Gaza aren't being killed, they're calling them anti-Semites. What's your response to that?
Give a look. It didn't come in even any anti-Semitic. The Muslims were never anti-Semitic, and they are still not today anti-Semitic. Everybody who knows a bit of history knows that Jews and Muslims have a golden life. For centuries we lived together. And for the truth is to say that we lived in the Muslim countries much better than in the rest of the world. And this is open history. Everybody can see that.
I mean, I agree with you, but there's been some instances where some Muslims are anti-Semitic. I mean, but on the whole, I agree with you.
No. I'm sorry. Just read the history. You are a bit influenced from the Zionists.
I just have some Muslim friends who are quite anti-Semitic. I mean, this is why I know, but I agree with you on the whole.
I will explain. These Muslim friends that you have, yes, bring them together with me.
They will love you.
Yes, 100%, because they are not hating Jews. They are hating occupiers. They are hating the genocide. This is exactly what they're hating. They have nothing against Jews at all. Look, I came from Jerusalem, yes? I'm already 7 generations there in the Holy Land. We've gone out, we don't want to live under the Israeli government. we gone out in 1970. My whole family again out. It's not only my family. Since 1948, tens of thousands of Jewish families has gone out of Israel. Even today, in my area, Stamford Hill, there are about 100, 150 families that came out only the last 10 years. They didn't want to live there. And but my mother told me very much that she remembers the good life between Jews and Palestinians. They live together, they used to babysit each other, the children. She remembered that. Palestinian neighbors brings over the children to her parents to watch of them when they're going to any occasion. And the same thing, the Jewish parents bring the children to the Palestinian neighbors to babysit them. And also, we used to dance by the weddings, each other. I myself, I know many Palestinian songs, just we're singing that what we heard by the Palestinian weddings. We have a golden life, each other together. And look, I give you an example, even today's day, yes, I live in Stamford Hill, they're living tens of thousands of Jewish people, they're living many thousands of Muslims, I don't know how many, in their synagogues, side by side with mosques, we're helping each other. When the Jewish synagogue wants to build out extension, making bigger, the Muslim counselors, helping them. When the mosque in Kaysnavod, they want to build out, the Jewish counselors help them to get a permit. One of the Jewish counselors, his office is in the mosque of Kaysnavod. There is his office, where people coming up to him is in. We have a golden life together. I can say, all the minicab drivers in our area, about 400 or 500, all of them are Muslims. If he's sending our small children of 2-3 years in the playgroups with the Muslim drivers, I never ever even hear one single problem between them. I tell you just a nice thing. For 2 years ago, I was by a rally here in London, pro-Palestinian rally, and I burned the Israeli flag there.
You burned the flag?
Yes, yes.
That's a crime, you know.
The police arrest me.
Okay, sure. Okay, so you got arrested for it.
And I asked the police, why are you arresting me? What is? It's not against the law. No, this is racial hatred. I told him to kill the children in Gaza is not racial hatred. But to bear an Israeli flag among 10,000 Muslims, this is racial hatred. I was in Hammersmith, here in the police station, and I have the first interview. It was Friday night, 3:30 in the morning. They called me out for the first interview. And
three in the morning, so yes. Like late at night, yes.
Yes, yes. And they asked me, why do you do that? What do you want? At the end of the conversation, I asked for the police, can I ask you something? Yes. I told him, I think I know you. Maybe you're working in my area in Stamford Hill? Tell me yes. I'm working in Stockton Police Station. I remember from my area, I saw him. I remember his face. What are you doing here? I said, sometimes we're sharing, we're going one place to the other. So I'm working now here, but usually I'm working Stockton. I told him, can I ask you some question? Yes. In Stamford Hill, of course, you know the area, yes? You're patrolling this area. There are tens of thousands of Jewish people and tens of thousands of Muslims. Both of them have yod. How many calls you have a day in fighting between the Jewish yod and the Muslim yod? You say nothing. How many times a week? How many times a month? A year? Never. I told him why. Why? It's not normal. Yes, these two people, they should fight each other. You don't know. I told him, you know why? This is because of my racial hatred. What I spreading out, the hatred, this unites them. The Muslims know that people like me, the people in Stamford Hill, are against the state of Israel. They have no problem with Jews. We're living there as best friends. Okay. And you don't have to go too far to the history. Look, Jewish people living today in Iran. I take the extreme example. Iran is the greatest enemy of Israel. In the middle of the war, Iran didn't concentrate the Jewish people in concentration camps now. They protect them. like normal citizens. There are 35,000 Jewish people living in Iran just now, and they have a golden life there, even in the middle of the war. They have no problem. The Iranians have no hatred against Jews. They have a problem with the occupation. And the Iranians say that again and again and again and again in the media, we are not against Jews. We are against the occupation. But the mainstream media are under Zionist influence, and they want to brush everybody with anti-Semitism. And then they can say, oh, this is Nazis, this is anti-Semitic. Haven't got nothing to do with anti-Semitic. Why the media didn't bring out this point that Jewish people living in Iran now, under the missiles, they're living free. They have today their schools, their high schools, their all the institutes. There's a Jewish hospital in Iran, funded completely by the government. Why you don't see that in the news? They just say the Iranian anti-Semites, the Nazis. Why people are so blind? Why they don't think? Just open the eyes. And not only Iran, all the Muslim countries are full of Jews. In Morocco, in Tunis, Algiers, Turkey, everywhere is full of Jews. And Jewish people living there peacefully. They have no problem there. Why are people ignoring that? This all proves and shows that this haven't got nothing to do with anti-Semitism. You say you have friends anti-Semitic, I can promise you, bring them on my table. You will see they will love me. They have no problem with a Jew. They have a problem with the occupation. They have a problem with the genocide. They want to see Palestine back to the Palestinians. I also want to see that. I'm waiting for this day. And this day I will be proud to go back to Palestine. I was here with a Palestinian ambassador. I told him, I'm a Palestinian Jew. I want a Palestinian passport. He told me, unfortunately, at the moment we are not issuing passports. But when we will, first passports will be for you. I want to demonstrate for the world that it's a honor for us to give a passport for a Jewish rabbi to show we haven't got nothing to do with anti-Semitism. We are not against Jews. Jews will be welcome in Palestine. Jews will be welcome in Palestine when there will be a Palestinian country, as long they haven't got any goals to take over the country. They want to live as loyal citizens. And I will tell you a nice story. Sorry, this was for 30 months ago. This was 3 months after the October 7th.
3 months before or after?
After.
Okay,
in January.
It's not 30 months ago. It's about two years ago.
On January. On January, 3 months. We were invited to Turkey to a big conference there for Palestine. And we come there. In the middle of the conference, appears there Ismail Haniyeh. You know who is that?
Yeah.
I'm not allowed here by law to mention this terrorist group. But Ismail Haniyeh, yes, he was the leader of Hamas, the political leader of Hamas. He appears in the conference. He come up and he saw the rabbis. He told them to come up. And they come up, he embraced our rabbis and they say, we have no problem with Jews. I want to demonstrate for the world, Jews like these rabbis will be welcome in our Palestine. We have no problem with Jews. We have a problem with the occupation. We have a problem with the genocide, but not with Jews. Jews like that will be welcome.
Okay.
We see that in many places, this has nothing to do with anti-Semitism.
We're about to conclude, but just a few more questions, right? Many people who support the Israeli state, not just Zionists, I mean, people who are probably even like soft Zionists, but even TV presenters, everyone sort of says the Zionists and Israel has a right to defend itself. Netanyahu uses this rhetoric a lot. There is this idea that because of what happened in the Holocaust, you know, the Jews should have a state of their own so that they can kind of be safe. What's your thoughts on that?
Really, you ask two questions, but I will try to answer that firstly. That would say that the Zionists have the right to defend themselves. But who gives them the right to be there in the first place? It's not their land. You cannot rob away someone's house and then to say, I have the right to defend ourselves. Give back the house to the right owner. then you don't have any enemies. You haven't got, you're not in danger. You're in danger because you took away someone's house. Give back the house. Who gives them for the Zionists the right to take away the land on first hand from the people who used to live there? They bring them up, bring up Jewish people from the whole world with money tricks to become a majority to take over the land. Everybody knows the history, knows Jews was only 10%. It may be less than that for 100 years ago in the Holy Land. The Zionists bring up a majority with money tricks, and then they take away the land from the right owners, from the right people who used to live there, and they say, I have the right to have the right to defend myself. Who gives you the right to be there? And I might have to say more. Even I don't want to go in politics, but no one on the world have the right to take a country from the people who live there and give them from another people. England, who gives the land, the United Kingdom gives the land for the Zionist people by the Balfour Declaration. Who is England to give them away for another people? Can I give your house away for somebody else? This doesn't belong to England. And even the United Nations haven't got the right to this. And I tell you more. King Starmer, yes, he's our prime minister, yes? And very respected, fine, very good. He runs the country very good. If he will one day decide to give away England for a present for Italy, yes, what will happen? Everybody will stand up against him. He haven't got a right to that. It's not his country. Even the king cannot do that. It's not his country. The land belongs for the English people who lives here. Palestine belongs for the people who live there. These are the Palestinian people. That's all. Nobody in the world, not the UN, and not the United Kingdom, and no one on the world have the right to take away this piece of land and give it away for other people where they like them. Nothing will make this right. This wrong will never become a right. No difference who done this wrong. So now you come, Israel say we have the right to defend ourselves, but who gives you the right to take it on first hand? It's not your land. Give back the land for the Palestinians. And now I come back to the other question, what you're asking about the Holocaust, the Jews gone through a Holocaust and Jews need a safe country, and the Zionists say we will save you and we will give you a safe country and we will save all the Jews in the whole world from anti-Semitism. I didn't have to answer, I just say, open the eyes. In today's day, where is the most danger place for a Jew, Israel. Not for a Palestinian, for a Jew to live? The one place, Israel. We live in the whole world, nicely, peacefully, we have no problem. I live here in England nearly 40 years. Yes, I never saw a soldier on the street. I never see somebody going with guns. We don't see that in the street. This means a safe country. Israel, every small child grown up with soldiers, with guns, with tanks, with all of this, this is a safe country. Every day, another bomb, another killing, another This is the most unsafe place for a Jew. For a Jew. We live in the Muslim world much safer than in Israel. Jewish people have a golden life in Iran, a golden life in Morocco, a golden life in Turkey. Everywhere, Jews live peacefully. The only danger place for a Jew to live is the state of Israel. Did they bring any safeness for Jews? They only bring hatred, killing, and danger for Jewish people. They say they're saving Jewish people from anti-Semitism. They're only raising anti-Semitism all over the world. Since the Second World War, anti-Semitism goes out of fashion. And everybody who say even one word what looks anti-Semitic, he have to apologize. Who raising anti-Semitism in today's day? As I told you, I going in the street and I hear behind me Hitler. That means he watched yesterday a film of Gaza. They are raising the anti-Semitism all over the world. They bring in Jewish people into danger. Why do you mean it's happening all this green with the ambulances? What's happened there? Why? This is only because of the war in Iran, because of the war in Gaza. People get so angry, and people, unfortunately, mixing up Jewish people with Zionism because secular Zionists, they cannot identify. But they see people like me. Oh, he's the Zionist. He's the Jew. They're mixing up between Judaism and Zionism. So this has happened. I mean, you know what I've been speaking about, ambulances and all this. This is, they're erasing all the anti-Semitism, and then they come to cry, oh, this is anti-Semitic, anti-Semitic, anti-Semitic. I say every time for the police, they're coming to protect us and protect in our neighborhood. I told them, I'm very thankful you're coming to protect us. Very nice, very good. But you don't need. You don't need. You don't have just, we take out one Palestinian flag, and it will answer all the questions. Finish. We don't need it. We don't need the police protection. The Muslims don't hate us. They hate Zionists. When they will see we are against the state of Israel, they have no problem with Jews. You will don't see even one incident. So again, I come back to the point. You're speaking also about affairs. The Zionists don't saving Jews. The Zionists just creating hatred against Jews and making Jews in danger. And what you speak about the about what's happened in the Holocaust, firstly, before we going in any explanation, the Holocaust doesn't justify to rob away land from other people. If you want a land, go claim from the Nazis to give you a part of their land. I don't know, there are no Nazis there. I mean, go to them. Go to Germany to ask for a land. What, the Palestinians didn't make the Holocaust? Why they have to pay the bill what the Nazis has done? I mean, this is completely unreasonable. If the nations on the world wants to help Jewish people, fine. Say for America, give them the state of Florida for the Jewish people. We are also not allowed to take that. As we are in exile, we are besworn by God not to go out of exile. However, if you want to give them, give them. Say for England, please, give them Newcastle for Jewish people. Very nice. What do you want from the Palestinians? They didn't make the Holocaust, firstly. Secondly, as I told you, Zionism don't save Jewish people from a Holocaust. They're only bringing anti-Semitism on that.
It's been a difficult 2.5 years, especially, and I mean, it looks like war is not going to stop anytime soon, although we hope it does, war with Iran and a bigger regional war. What's your thoughts on the future?
You know, look, I'm not I'm a Jewish rabbi, but I'm not a prophet. But I can just say, from the religious point of view, I mentioned it before, according to the Torah, the state of Israel will come to an end. It's written in the Torah in Numbers 14, verse 41, a rebellion against God cannot be succeed. The state of Israel will come to an end. We hope and pray to a peaceful end. And that the whole land from the river to the sea will go back to the Palestinians. We, how it will happen, I know people say, oh, I say every time I pray to God, it should happen in a peaceful way. People say, oh, this is cannot be, this will cost millions of lives. I say every time for people, no, just open, remember yourself what's happened for 35 years ago. I don't know if it's in your times.
It was in my times.
Yes, and it was 1990 when the USSR disappeared. The USSR was one of the second world power. It was one of the greatest powers. And for people to think that the USSR will come to an end, people think this cannot be, this will happen with millions of lives. It didn't cost even one single life. Even not one single life. In the second example, you see that in South Africa. It's cost lives in South Africa, but not so much as people think it will cost millions of lives. It's cost much, much, much less than this. So that proves that there is a way. If there is a will, there is a way. And this is always my message to the United Kingdom and to the United States and to the EU, where they're helping Israel so blindly, so blindly. Could be they have a good intention, they want to help Jews, and they're mixing up between Jews and Zionists, and they want to help Jews. Could be. And I'm not a God to judge their intentions. But what the deeds, what they're doing, is completely wrongly. They don't help Jews with the state of Israel. The state of Israel just bringing Jews into danger. If you want to help Jews, please bring a peaceful end to the state of Israel. And again, if there is a will, there is a way. And the USSR is the proof of that. South Africa is the proof of that. The state of Israel will come to an end, we hope, in a peaceful way. The land will go back to the Palestinians. It doesn't mean that Jews have to be killed. No, we can continue living in Palestine like we live in Iran, like we live in Morocco, like we live in Turkey, like we live in Iraq, like we live in all Muslim countries peacefully. We can continue live in Palestine, but give back the government completely to the Palestinians from the river to the sea. And then Jews and Muslims can live there together, side by side, and again, under a Palestinian government, under a Palestinian flag. And again, according to the Torah, this will happen. I'm not a politician, but this will happen according to the Torah. I just say that, again, from the Jewish perspective, from the Jewish religion, from Numbers 14, verse 41, the state of Israel will come to an end. Hopefully it will happen in our days. They will come to an end, into a peaceful end, and the land will go back to the Palestinians. I hope that I will see that in my lifetime. Inshallah.
Rabbi Ilan Beck, thank you so much.
Thank you.